Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career. I am Dr. Cindy Gray, and with me today is Johanna Preston. She's got a lovely job title, Head of Young Talent. Like, who wouldn't want to be that? At FNB, that is First National Bank in South Africa. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I do have the best job in the world. That's how I always introduce myself.
It sounds like it. Head of Young Talent. Who wouldn't want to be that?
Exactly.
Johanna, if someone stumbled across this podcast and they've listened to the first 10 seconds, why should they keep on listening? What do you have to offer to students, parents, and maybe other employers today?
The secret sauce to a happy career.
You have that?
I like to think so.
I'm definitely staying. Please explain to me what a head of young talent does.
So in our context in F&B, I get to work with all our brand new graduates across a variety of programs. So one of them is our graduate program, where we bring in, as the name implies, graduates from universities, and we align them with specialist roles in the bank to grow into future leaders and specialists. And then we run a variety of other initiatives, one of them being a youth employment scheme, where we bring in anyone from just a matric to a BTEC or a national diploma, into internships, into learnerships. In total, annually, we bring just under 800 youth into the bank for various opportunities. And we make sure they are trained across a variety of technical and soft skills, and we hope to absorb as many as possible.
If you can pick one skill or competency that these 800 bright-eyed and bushy-tailed youths lack when they get to you or they become part of the program or part of F&B, what would that be?
I'm not sure if it can be termed a competency per se, but I am seeing a lack of resilience and perhaps related to it, a confidence, a grounded confidence.
Yeah, I think that is probably characteristic of the current generation, that we are missing some bravery when it comes to failure, if we can call it that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you also see that in your program?
Absolutely, everywhere, across from, it doesn't matter which level. Yeah. And sometimes maybe you see a graduate that comes across as confident, but when faced with an opportunity to maybe try get into the unknown or do something that isn't guaranteed to succeed, they hesitate.
Yeah.
And I think curiosity and innovation, it is a very vulnerable space because it doesn't guarantee success. And if you're a graduate coming out of a university and get accepted into a program, it's likely that you are the top of the class. So you're used to success. Mm-hmm. And you're used to a fairly predictable space. You work hard, you study hard, you write an exam, you get your results, on you go. And a workspace is a lot more variable and complex. Mm. And there is no easy formula of, if I just know my stuff and I work hard, I will succeed. You're working with people, you're working in a context, you're working in systems. There's so many variables, and you're being asked to try something new, of which no one has tried before, particularly in F&B, where we are very innovative. And I think what maybe they don't understand is failure is part of success. Nobody succeeded without failing multiple times. So actually, the recipe for success is resilience and an ability to deal with failure, pick yourself up and try again and again, but to do that multiple times, not just once.
For sure. It makes me think about Stephen Bartlett. He is a big podcaster, and the podcast is called The Diary of a CEO.
I know it.
Big fan.
Likewise.
And in his companies, he encourages failure. So he says, the quicker you do experiments or try some things that doesn't work out, the quicker you get to the solution. I think when something doesn't work out, you shouldn't expect a good reaction. People will be disappointed and there may be consequences, but that shouldn't deter you from trying, right? That is such a difficult thing to do.
It is really difficult, but there's a but.
Okay.
So context is everything. So again, if you are working in a context that where innovation is required, not even not even encouraged, but required, okay. That context or the responsibility almost of that context is to have a tolerance and almost encouragement of failure. Mm. So yes, there might be consequences, quote unquote, but it wouldn't or shouldn't be a deterrent. So the consequences shouldn't be like you are a failure because you failed. That's shaming.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If an environment is about innovation, failure is more than tolerated, saying, okay, you have failed, so we're not going to give you a wonderful pat on the back. Let's understand why you failed. Let's be constructive about understanding the failure. We're not going to punish you and shame you for failing. We're going to hold you accountable, but yes. Now we're going to use the failure as a learning for more than just you, for your team for around everyone. You, so that the same mistake isn't made. So mistakes are, obviously no one loves them. I mean, there's a cost to them, but it is absolutely a fundamental part of the innovation and progress that any company has. So there has to be almost an encouragement, like go ahead and try. And when you fail, when, not if.
Yeah.
We will be here to help you understand why you failed so you don't fail in the same space again. Yeah. So I think it's a responsibility of the context. And if the context is very punitive, you will see that those companies are not innovative.
Yeah, they're not. And I think that is what reinforces the fear of failure if you land in such a company. But I'm just thinking practically. If you want to try something and you are fearful, I would maybe suggest that you could speak to this. Go to your manager or your line manager or your head and say, I want to try this. I'm not sure it's going to work, but I want to give it a shot. And then you almost sort of get permission to do it. That might take a little bit of the fear of failure away.
I think it's absolutely. So I think it's almost like a scenario planning. Like, what's the appetite for failure? So like, I laugh because our leadership is very passionate about young talent. And so we always have someone from Exco, the CEO, speak to the graduates and say, you know, guys, don't break the bank. You can chip it. Don't break it. And he actually talks to them about this capacity for making mistakes, because that's how you grow and that's how you get successful. And I think I actually have a very specific example of that, where a young graduate, he's now one of our CEOs, approached his line manager and said, listen, I have an idea. And this was around cardless cash withdrawal. That's how the idea came about. He was from he lived in rural KZN. And he one day left his wallet at home and we traveled to Durban. And he was like, imagine, why couldn't I use my cell phone to withdraw money from an ATM?
Oh, wow.
And he went to his line and said, can I try experiment with this? And he said, that's amazing. I'll support you. You know, fast forward 10 years, fast forward 2 years, he was part of the team that created eWallet. But cardless cash withdrawal was a massive innovation. He won an innovators competition, which we have in the bank, bought his mom a house. You know, it was a wonderful story. And he's now one of the CEOs in our retail segment. So
you're telling me cardless cash originated from a young boy from KZN?
Yes.
Who had a problem that he had to solve.
Yeah. And it was a real lived experience, you know, of a customer. And even more amazing than that, he was one of our – no, it wasn't even a customer. He asked for he applied for a loan and was declined. And he vowed to change that. And at one point, he was the CEO of F&B Loans.
I think maybe in South Africa, there is a general idea that F&B is a leader in tech, in technology. You would say that F&B encourages this to lose your fear of failure and actually try. Because I think when you appoint someone, employees are looking for drive and innovation and etc. But all of that is based on trying.
Absolutely. And curiosity.
No.
And again, if you think about, break down the idea of curiosity, the vulnerability involved in saying, I don't know.
Oh, and that's so difficult to
say. It is. And especially when you're new and you're young and you're trying to, you know, be a hotshot.
Yeah.
How do you show up in a meeting full of people and go, how would this work? I don't know. Somebody explain it to me. Or I'm asking questions from experienced people and going, I'm not sure I agree that what you built 10 years ago is still serving our customers well. And are you this like 23-year-old, you know? It takes a lot of guts. So if the environment isn't supportive of that, it's going to be very hard. But I think, so as much as we're saying, yes, you know, young people don't have resilience and you know, and they're not willing to be brave, we have a responsibility to grow that bravery and create an environment that supports that great bravery. And so when you do make a mistake or when you choose to be vulnerable, you're not punished for it. You're encouraged.
Okay, but I always try to get very practical or give practical advice.
Yeah.
So let's say you don't have that encouraging environment. You are a young student and you're listening to this and you want to build that bravery. I'm trying to think practically what you can do. And the first thing that just popped up is try to bake a cake.
I'm a terrible baker, so I know all about failing
in the kitchen.
Yes, yes.
I'm just thinking, what can we tell them to do practically to build that resilience that's not, you know, go and run the comrades?
No, sure. So I think it's exactly to your point, the practical small things. I'm going to use a completely different example, but, and maybe just I'm going to digress to the side a little bit.
Go for it.
So a lot of our confidence, we think it's all in our head, but it's actually often built somatically through our bodies. So I was just having a conversation with someone who said she wanted to be brave and she's not a runner, but she was going to actually train to do the New York Marathon. And she trained for a year and she said, you know, if I'm going to do the marathon, I'm going to do it in style.
Sure.
So she was lucky enough to be able to afford to go to New York. But it was a very physical goal.
Yeah.
And I have to agree in that I had a similar personal experience. I ride a Harley Davidson motorcycle.
You.
I'm very small. For those, obviously you guys can't see me.
Listeners, she's tiny.
About 50 kilograms.
Like a Harley Davidson for children.
No, my bike is just over 400 kilograms. It's massive.
Okay.
But the progress of doing that and learning and conquering my fear, and I can tell you it took about 2 years for me to stop having my heart in my throat when climbing on my bike. But when that physical experience of conquering your fear or reaching a goal, so it doesn't, like you said, baking a cake or whether it's a physical activity goal, it doesn't have to be. So for introverts, you know, the biggest nightmare would be going into a party and having to start a conversation. You don't have to go to the top end of your goal. Start small.
With your neighbor.
Exactly. Or, okay. You know, cue at home affairs, strike up a conversation, challenge yourself in the small ways. But you have to have repeated exposure. And then you incrementally go to the bigger thing. So I hear a lot of students. Last night I had a wonderful conversation with a student saying, oh, I'm so scared of networking. How do I get past it? And I said, you know, introverts are the best networkers. People want to speak to introverts because they're not trying to talk over you.
They listen.
They listen. But you do have to break that initial ice of find one person that looks quite friendly and make an arbitrary comment and start talking to them. You don't have to go up and be the life of the party. So whatever it is, start small and convince yourself, because that's the only person you have to convince. So yeah, whether it's learning to bake or learning or having a athletic goal of some kind, that is one of the best things to build confidence.
I actually want to now say something that the youth won't like, but I'm thinking phones are not helping with that.
No.
Because scrolling through your phone and sitting with your phone for hours has no consequences. for you.
Yeah.
And if you don't like what you see, you just scroll past. And even if you make a not so nice comment, the consequences aren't that great because it's on your phone. So practically then, I would say let's encourage young people to put the phone down and at least once a day, let's say once a day, try something relatively hard or that can go wrong.
Yes.
Like say, try to do 10 push-ups and not succeed.
Mm. How does it feel?
And feel it.
Yes. But be mindful about it. How does it feel in your body? Do you have that pit of your stomach disappointment feeling? Are you, what does it feel? So recognize the feeling, but not just in your head.
Yeah.
Right? Recognizing feelings, it's a very physical experience.
You're right. Yeah.
And so to have that mindfulness, I was saying yesterday, yeah, guys, IRL in real life.
Is like, that what that means?
Yes.
You know.
I have a 13-year-old.
Oh, good for you. Right, yeah. And really feel how that feels. And then also to realize that that feeling is just a feeling. It's not the end of the world.
No.
You can try again. Because I think that's what happens. I think that that youth and young people, and maybe us too, we're so disconnected from feeling emotions that the moment one comes up, you think something's wrong.
And there's a discomfort about it.
Yes.
And you have to have a tolerance of discomfort. I'm 46 years old and
no.
I still, oh, thank you. I still go in my career through, you know, whenever I want to try something different and try something new, I still go through anxiety.
You feel the discomfort.
But it doesn't go away.
Okay.
It never go. You never, hopefully, you never stop growing. But growth is painful.
Yeah.
And you have to just tolerate the pain. But I think looking at people who have experience, everyone assumes that, like, oh, look, you're just like cruising through life. And no, you just, it's more about developing this awareness and comfort that it's only uncomfortable for a while. I've done this before. I'll get through to the other side and it's worth it because look at what I've accomplished. And that feeling of accomplishment is, oh, I love that. That rush.
Yes.
But I mean, I went through a job interview process a while back and wasn't leaving FNB. It was an internal, you know, opportunity.
You were climbing the ladder.
I was climbing the ladder. And it really is so anxiety provoking. So I do empathize with my, with my students, but you get through it.
Yeah.
And that feeling of, we always laugh and say, but did you die?
No, that's the worst thing that can happen.
Exactly.
And if it happens, you wouldn't know, would you?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that we can summarize and say that to keep a job, because I think that happens, you'll get employment and something uncomfortable happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you have to leave.
No.
You think it's a horrible job and you hate your job and you want something else and you leave. And Lungile and I were talking about institutional knowledge and the value of institutional knowledge. So if you leave or job jump every time you feel discomfort or you're not brave enough to face a challenge or a failure, you'll never build up that institutional knowledge. And how valuable that is. So to keep a job, you need to be brave. Do push-ups and fail. Bake a cake, let it flop, eat the dough. Do something uncomfortable. Shall we say that that is the practical takeaway for keeping a job?
100%.
How big a part of your secret sauce is that?
Probably the biggest, because I'll be honest with you, I stayed in, my entire career has been at F&B, but that's because I know for sure this place smells like me. It's just, it aligned to values from a perspective of how I like to work.
Okay.
And I've seen other corporates, and don't get me wrong, over the years, I absolutely have gone and had conversations with other companies and but in those conversations, I can tell this is not going to work for me.
Uh-huh.
They don't, that sort of understanding of what agency and autonomy is, no company I've come across so far has what F&B has. So I have done lots of different things over the years in F&B in the young talent space, but I just, every time I want to step out, I'm just going, I'll test it, but it doesn't quite align. So I think, yes, the keeping the job and institutional knowledge, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't change employers for sure. If you know, while you're testing things out, but not at the first sign of discomfort.
Yeah.
Because the way that you, you know, and always the adage is you join a company, you leave your manager, and you will run into difficult bosses. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. The resilience you build in dealing with difficult characters is the most valuable thing. Doesn't matter what business you go into, what you studied, you are always going to be in the business of people. Always. Sure.
What else is then part of your secret sauce? Why did you call it the secret sauce to
loving, a happy career?
Happy career. Is there anything? What else is in there?
Knowing yourself.
Okay.
Really knowing yourself.
I think that's even harder.
It is. It's so scary. You think you know yourself, and then you know you have that conversation with your nearest and dearest, where you find out, oh, I didn't know that's how I was experienced. Mm. You know, so.
I'm not really that funny.
Exactly. And that is so important because that's how you find that fit mm-hmm. in a place that you know resonates with who you are. And working with teams and working with across different teams and across different contexts, when you understand how you're experienced, it's key. And it's a scary thing as well. That's a scary curiosity.
It's not lost on me that that's also very uncomfortable. Yes. So that is the theme of our conversation.
Ooh, comfort with discomfort.
Yes. So that you need to build a tolerance for discomfort. And that is important for your career and personal growth.
And I think just to tie it back to your earlier point about cell phones. Sorry, guys, we're like bashing, but it's true. There's so much research. We are.
We're Gen X. We can bash phones.
But there is now more than enough research to show how destructive social media has been because of that instancy of it, right? I don't like something, I swipe left.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, like you said, there's no immediate consequences for negativity, etc. And that is such a bad thing around building resilience. I don't want to build resilience. If I'm uncomfortable, I just leave.
Yes.
Or I go, I just don't do that thing that I'm not good at. It's the worst possible thing. So just push through.
It's a course that we can write and present it at universities.
Oh, yes, please. Please. I'll co-fund it.
And make students do uncomfortable things and make them stay.
Exactly. And it's it's a massive gift.
Yeah. And I think it can actually really be fun and it's part of growing up.
Getting to the other side.
Yeah.
I'll never forget how bulletproof I felt when I finally climbed on my bike and I wasn't completely afraid. I'm always a little bit afraid, which is healthy because you should be.
Just the still thought riding a bike. Of it. The thought of it makes me.
It's very loud. So people notice you on the road.
Yeah. I think it's the loudness that I'm afraid of, right? It's not the size. It's the noise. Jo, I love this conversation with you. So much insight, so much value, I think, for anyone who wants to get into a career and stay there and just, you know, learn from us Gen Xers.
Yeah.
We've been around for a while.
You know.
We don't know all the abbreviations and hashtags, but we know how to get a job and keep it. Right.
Happily.
Jo, if someone's listening now and they are interested to maybe become a part of FNB or reach out, connect, I don't know if you have social media that people can follow, where can we send them to maybe get into a graduate program or connect with you if it's something that you're open to?
Sure, yeah. So we have our all our job applications are via our careers site. So that's fnb.co.za/careers. Our graduate program applications are closed for the year, unfortunately. But we do have a LinkedIn live page specifically dedicated to young talent. So all our upcoming opportunities, whether it's engagements, insight programs are always posted there. So if you are an undergrad and you want an opportunity to connect with us, whether it's in a career fair on campus or, you know, digitally, that's all there on the LinkedIn live page.
No personal Instagram that they can follow?
I do. I am on LinkedIn as well.
LinkedIn. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm just a sort of note here. I'm unfortunately unable to answer 800 plus messages.
I'm just thinking everybody listening wants to see you on Harley Davidson. Where can we get that photo?
I have detoxed from my phone quite a lot.
Okay.
So I do have an Instagram and a Facebook page, but it's quite private.
Sorry, guys. You're going to have to picture that.
Maybe I'll post something on LinkedIn one day.
So that they can just see it. I want to see that.
Okay, no worries. Then I'll make a note to tie it into a lesson in resilience.
There we go.
I'm inspired now.
Thank you so much, Joe. I love talking to you. Thank you for being so generous with your wisdom and your time and for everything that you've done the past 2 days at the UFS to inspire students.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. Like, this is so the best part of my already best job in the world.
I love that. Thank you.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.